Good afternoon. So today's reading in many of the Black Pew Bibles starts on page 1309, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. And then we will skip to page 1301, James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. So 1 Peter 4, 12 to 19. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of God and for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Move to James. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for bringing us here together once again today. Although we are not 80,000 as recently gathered together for a big event in Montreal, we know that for you, two of us gathered together in your name means that you are there. And if you are there, you are protecting us from temptation and sin and from death through your salvation, through your death and your blood. We pray always in your holy name. Amen.
Our city is getting used to all kinds of activities that grow and grow and grow in numbers. And Giancarlo, in his prayer, said, we're not 80,000 people as, and many more wanted to be there and couldn't, for that event, down at the Blue Bonnets, I called him, and my daughter said, "Dad, there's no more Blue Bonnets." But nevertheless, there were about 80,000 people wanting and searching and asking for more and more and more pleasure and more excitement. People today want more education, more money, more pleasure, more comfort, more entertainment, better cars, etc. For most people, the bigger and more is better and the way to go. And they work hard to get them, only to end up with bigger debts, more commitments and responsibilities, more disappointments, and more broken dreams and hopes. But when it comes to spiritual growth and maturity, these are very often neglected and forgotten altogether by most people. Even those who call themselves Christian very often are entangled in this web of worldly and confusing system. Even Christians are entangled in this web. And when I wrote that, I just visualized for a moment a web. A spider is in the middle. And then I visualize that little fly that is flying to find some little food somewhere. And that little fly ends up in the middle of that web, and instead of finding some food, becomes the food of the spider. Well, I believe the devil is like that, has set this huge spider that looks so nothing, and yet can capture you, capture people, and lead them to death. Many Christian believers are having a hard time knowing what their real priorities are as Christians. And trapped as they are in the vicious circle of overcommitment and paying for their little pleasure here and there, they stagnate spiritually, and often they become spiritual deserts. As a matter of fact, before I wrote deserts, I had written they become spiritual couch potatoes. And I said, no, people will misunderstand what I mean. I know what I'm saying, but they will not understand. So we become, people become deserts, dry. No spiritual growth, no spiritual muscles, and in danger of spiritual anorexia. The Bible makes it very clear that God wants to see us, the true believers, grow and mature. God uses many things and ways to help us grow and mature. He uses the Bible, the church, other believers, and even circumstances. But also God allows and uses trials to bring us to maturity. Let's look at some truths about trials. What is a trial? Trial is a state of pain or anguish that tests patience, endurance, and belief. What is tribulation? Someone may say, grievous trouble, severe trial or suffering. But let's look at the first question people usually ask. Why do Christians have trials? In verse 12 we read, do not be surprised at painful trials. Painful trials. The Greek word is pyrosi or kamini, furnace. Furnace. Going through the fire, so to speak, facing adversity. Kamini. Christians have trials because they live in a sinful world. We are part of a fallen race. In Romans 3:10-23, we see that. We live in a world of turmoil and natural disasters. You want to see disasters? Turn on your television. My wife this morning brought me up to date with the news. She goes to the computer and she gives me those little news pieces. She says, have you heard that this is what's happening in that country, and the other country? And I said, it has been going on now for a while. Almost every country has seen disasters and problems and difficulties. We live in a world of crime, sickness, selfishness, and death. So when the question is asked, why do Christians have trials? Because we live in a situation where everything is ready to attack you. As a matter of fact, when the Bible nowhere says that when you become a Christian, when you become a born-again believer, you are now immune to trials, to difficulties, to sickness, to unemployment, to heartaches, to difficulties and problems. It does not say that. It says the opposite. It says, don't be surprised when these things happen, because you are a fallen, you are a member of a fallen generation. The only thing that you have going for you is my presence with you all the time. Christians have trials because, first I said, Christians have problems and difficulties and trials because we find ourselves in a sinful world, in a fallen world. Secondly, Christians have trials because of the power of Satan. Our enemy is Satan. Satan attacked Adam and Eve, Job, the disciples, and even Jesus. In 1 Peter 5:8, we read, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Third, Christians, true believers, are on a collision course with the world and sin. Jesus warned us of this conflict. We are in a collision course. Yesterday we had our men's breakfast and fellowship, and about 30 men, we started sharing some of the burdens and the difficulties we face daily. And we also looked at the temptations and the trials that we face daily. I don't believe there is one person here that has not seen trials and temptations and difficulties. Even a little baby, when she has that little pain, something is bothering that child, is going through a trial. She is growing up. In John 15, verses 18 to 20, we read, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also." Many true believers in Jesus have suffered and died for him. Hebrews 11:36. Some faced fears, jeers, and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed into two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Actually, when I read these verses, I just ask the question, when I listen to the preacher on the televangelist, and I keep saying this because these people who are proclaiming the gospel, quote-unquote their gospel, the prosperity gospel, have missed all this. Which part they don't understand? That being a Christian does not mean what they say it means. They will say, why would a Christian drive I was listening to a message. He said, why would a Christian, a child of God, a prince or a princess, drive a broken down, a jalopy car? We need to understand that God wants us to drive the best possible cars. Why would a Christian, a born-again believer, suffer? God said that we will prosper. And they go on and on, and I'm saying, which Bible are we reading? Yes, God will bless each one of us. Yes, prosperity comes from God. And yes, you can drive a nice car. And yes, you can be healthy when God gives you health. But all these things are not promised to everyone who is born again, that will never get sick again, will never be unemployed, he will never lose whatever, a child. And how can a father or a mother or parents deal with a situation where their 18-year-old child is going to church or going to school and a drunk driver comes and kills that child? And what do they say? What do parents who hear that their six-year-old child was abducted and raped, and what does a man do when he is fired and he knows that his family needs money? Is it because they're not good Christians? Is it because God has neglected them? No, it's because we live in a society, in a world, that drunk drivers drive while they are under the influence and they kill. Yes, but someone will say, why didn't God stop him? Well, God knows best. And I'll let God do whatever is good. Now you say, doesn't sound good, that's not good. Well, I know it doesn't sound good to me and you, but God has a purpose in everything. If I believe in God and in the sovereignty of God, then I will give Him the last word. Today, not much has changed from those days that Christians were being persecuted. You may even ask, how should mature Christians react to trials? Verse 14 says that. Some Bible translations have wrongly translated the Greek word, and you may one day ask me, how come you keep saying that some of the things have been wrongly translated? Because I do read Greek, and because I was educated in Greek, and because I can take the original Greek and read and look at the word and then compare it with a translation. Okay, the Greek word is makari. Now, makari, we have few Greeks here, will know exactly what it means. Makari in verse 14 means happy are ye, happy are you. Actually, the proper Greek meaning is blessed are you. Let's look at that verse 14 again. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. It's not happy, are you? Obviously, I'm not happy when I'm being persecuted. But I'm blessed knowing that I'm being persecuted for the Lord in the name that I worship. It is actually a blessing to be insulted for the name of Christ. The early Christians considered it a blessing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. Acts 5:41 says, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Now, this sounds weird in today's Christianity. They consider themselves worthy to suffer. What do you mean, worthy? It says, counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Today, the prosperity gospel, or the watered-down gospel, or the liberal gospel says that Christians have to enjoy their life. Christians can do things because God understands and loves them. And because I believe God knows us and understands us, He expects us to do whatever we are able to do with His help. But there is a difference between suffering for the Lord and suffering for wrongdoing. A Christian should never bring suffering upon himself for breaking the law. A Christian should never be guilty of murder, stealing, evil in general, or meddling in other people's lives. Those things do not bring any glory to God. They only bring shame and pain, ruin the testimony, your testimony, our testimony, and of Christ. But there are some trials that will come anyway, in spite of our good intentions. Christians may suffer trials due to poor financial decisions they make. You may invest on something that foolishly you didn't even investigate, check, and you trusted your next door neighbor, and you made an investment, and that went down the drain, or down to another country's country account number. Then, or due to financial conditions that are out of their control, and there are troubles and difficulties and trials that we go through because of the world system, because of the monetary system. Often financial trials teach us how to be better stewards and managers of our finances. Then Christians may have trials concerning health. Songwriter Fanny Crosby was blind. Songwriter, singer, and well-known speaker Joni Erickson Tada is paralyzed from her neck down. My pastor, while I was in Greece, was blind. And when my wife met him the first time, she was so impressed with him. And every time he opened his mouth, people would stop even breathing because he had a message. And when I went to the pastor and I said to him, Pastor, this is my wife. I would like, let me just say that I met my wife here in Canada. She's from Egypt. I'm from Greece. And when I took my wife to Greece and I wanted to introduce her to the pastor, he said, yes, I know. Her name is Hasmik Kichukian, Shakarian. And my wife was shocked. She says, how did he know? Well, he was shocked. And he was blind. And he couldn't read the paper. And yet, God used that weakness and turned it around to be a strength. Health problems vary from difficulty to difficulty, from problem to problem. Often teach us to appreciate life, emphasize and sympathize with others, and pray. Christians may have problems concerning their families. Even the faithful very often suffer in this area. Problems may come and shake the family, spouse, children, other family members. The Christian family is not exempt from trials. Believe it or not, and I was sharing this yesterday at the men's breakfast, there are those, I used to get only calls from some women who had trouble at home or difficulties. Now I'm getting phone calls from men because they are so desperate. They don't know how to deal with family problems and difficulties. They don't know how to deal with themselves. They don't know how to deal with their spouse. They don't know how to deal with their children. And the devil is always attacking them. And things are getting so mixed up. And the family situation is so bad that they even wonder whether they are Christians or not. Or whether they are just backsliding. And these are real phone calls that I get. And I pray with them and for them. So there are trials. Christians may have emotional problems too. Christians are not exempt from emotional problems. Pressures, health problems, spiritual difficulties often affect our emotional well-being. Some seek professional help. Others are helped by Christian counseling. But many don't seek any help at all. And they just waste away problems. Emotional problems may vary from person to person and can be difficult to detect and treat. But our Lord has promised to help even when no one else can. Trials and testings will come in our life. Some can be avoided, but others may not. But let's remember that along with all the things trials do to us and for us and to us, also give us a chance and an opportunity to see ourselves and examine our spiritual condition. I believe every time I went through a trial and difficulty, I took time to examine the situation. And I made promises to myself. Sometimes I was able to keep them, sometimes I wasn't. And yet, I started thinking about the situation. And that made me a stronger person. When God allows trials to come in our life, He will also use them to produce a stronger and enduring faith in us. That is, if we want Him to. God promises us a safe landing, not a calm passage. If God brings you through it, you will know that God was with you. Once again, God promises safe landing, not calm passage, if God brings you through it. But sadly, so many Christians give up or fall by the wayside when trials and problems come. So what happens? Someone is going through a very difficult period of time. He was tempted and he did something terrible. And now he is battling this inner conflict, the guilt. Someone has lost a job and has to pay a rent. Someone's spouse has left. Someone's children have rebelled. Someone, a family is going through a very difficult period of time because of drugs and alcoholism and gambling and all kinds of difficult things. So what happens? Where is God? Where is God to help me? But God is right there. The problem is we don't want to let go of something. It's like someone who has stuck his hand into a bottle or a vase full of coins and grabs as many coins as he can, and yet he cannot bring out his hand until he empties that hand out of these stupid little coins that will keep him there forever. That's how it is with our life. We have grabbed onto sex, to drugs, to whatever some people have, and or we are holding on to some pride and to some whatever it is we don't want to let go, and we call upon God, look what's happening to me, and I'm a Christian, and God says, let go, and you say, no, I can't. And so there is a big struggle. How are you doing in the school of trials? Someone jokingly said, the best way to forget your troubles is to wear tight shoes. And I thought it was a silly joke until I thought about it. I mean, no matter what you have and what you're going through, when you wear very tight shoes and start walking, believe me, you're going to forget all your problems. Jacques, that's true, try it. That's how it is. That's what it is. Any change, any loss, does not make us victims. Others can shake you, surprise you, disappoint you, but they can't prevent you from acting, from taking the situation you are presented with and move on. No matter where you are in life, no matter what your situation, you can always do something. You always have a choice, and the choice can be power. What is my choice? My choice is to bring my cross that I cannot carry any longer to God and say, look, I've tried, but I can't. Would you help me? And God will say, okay. I don't know what He will say to you, but I know that God may say to you, okay, now you're carrying a cross that I didn't put on you. You're carrying that cross because you wanted 3 cars, you wanted 2 homes, you wanted to travel all the year, I don't know. You wanted this, you wanted that, and now you've got such a heavy burden that you cannot carry. Now, if you want me to help you, let me take over your life. And the answer should be, yes, Lord, I can't deal with this anymore. Are your trials making you better, or are they making you bitter? Look to Jesus in your trials He understands and cares. And I'd like to close with one verse from James. James said, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have come to you once again. We have come to you to hear your words. We have come to you because you are the source of all wisdom. And Heavenly Father, I, as the messenger this morning, have said many things. If there were any things I said that did not come from you, and were not according to your will, please erase them from our mind. But I am also sure that you have spoken to each one of us, and help us accept what you said, and help us to deal with our difficulties with your help. And Lord, be with us this morning while we'll be leaving this place of worship, and guide us, protect us. I pray for those who will be going downtown to distribute tracts. Protect them, guide them, and prepare the hearts of those who will be receiving those tracts. And also, Lord, I pray for each one of us that we may come to the place in our life, to the place where we'll stop for a moment and bring to you our life and ask you to help us live it for you. In your blessed name, I pray. Amen.